Welcome back to the Defense Tech Podcast. I'm your host, Civilian Sydney, and I'm here to take you beyond borders to explore the role of space in U.S. defense efforts. This week, we are rounding out Season 2 with a fascinating episode, where I talk with Josh Madrigal from Millennium Space Systems. Josh is the Vice President of Contracting at Millennium Space, where he leads contracting efforts. Josh has been with Millennium for close to 6 years, and been working in the defense tech industry for close to 11 years. I am so excited for you all to hear this conversation with Josh, where he shares more about Millennium's involvement in critical SSC efforts, such as missile track custody, and the success that they have already found in it. We also talk about the ins and outs of contracting and Millennium's rapidly growing team. I hope you enjoy the episode, and make sure you stay tuned for the new series coming out soon. Welcome to the podcast, Josh. I'm so happy to have you here this week, and I'm excited to talk and learn a little bit more about you and your work.
Excellent. Thank you, Sydney, for having me, and thank you to Defense Podcast for also having me. So I'm looking forward to the discussion.
Yeah, awesome. So could you just start out by walking us through your personal background, what your area of expertise is, what you're passionate about?
Absolutely. So I joined Millennium Space Systems about 7 years ago. Hard to think. But in that 7 years, you know, I've definitely experienced a lot, especially, you know, prior to us being Millennium being acquired by the Boeing company, there was a lot of roles that were not necessarily filled at that point. And so it gave me the opportunity, really, that I probably wouldn't have gone anywhere else. So, you know, was initially brought on board to stand up a department from scratch. Which was the contracts department, and that sort of, you know, scaled to where I'm at now. You know, so I've done various stints in business development, more recently now with owning contracts and a portion of our global supply chain group, major subcontracts and global trade compliance. It's really given me a pretty good outlook of the company and really what we do for our government customers. And so that's been very exciting. I would say in terms of passion, there's a lot that really drives me here and at Millennium, but I'd say first and foremost is just really being connected, you know, with the customer, the mission, and using my expertise in contracts to, you know, really make the deal and the contract happen, right? All the way from conceptualization to manufacturing and delivering and really operating, you know, the spacecraft. So full cycle, full cradle to grave, and that's really what I'm passionate about.
So you like having that high level view of everything, how it works, getting it going. Nice.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So would you mind sharing me more about Millennium Space Systems? What role does the company play in the larger picture of space defense?
Sure. Yeah. So Millennium Space Systems was founded in 2001 and deeply rooted in national security space. And so, you know, the mission sets that we support, you know, vary from tactical ISR to missile warning and tracking and to advanced space. And, you know, we're growing at a really rapid rate right now. I know that you covered, you know, you've covered some of our stuff in the past, but we're about 900 people strong right now. And I'm really looking forward to hitting the Millennium milestone of achieving, you know, 1,000 people, which is going to, you know, happen at some point in time, right, in the near future. So yeah, it's a little bit about the company.
Well, that's really exciting. So yeah, just tell me what it's like to work there and lead at Millennium Space Systems.
Absolutely. So I would say, you know, first off, it is a very dynamic and collaborative ecosystem. We have a lot going on with, you know, our portfolio. And really, you know, if you do have the opportunity to come check out our facility, you know, from just a footprint standpoint, we enable, you know, sort of our business model with just the configuration. You know, we have a really big open floor plan, which allows for just free flowing, you know, collaboration, real time learning, real time feedback. And so that's really the dynamic and, you know, collaborative aspect of it. I would also say that, you know, part of, you know, what we do here, we enable, you know, pretty much every discipline here to have autonomy. And really a lot of responsibility flowing all the way down to the intern level. So, and that also feeds into, you know, our culture of learning. I mean, across all different disciplines from business to technical, we have, you know, several technical fellows that, you know, that are here residents at Millennium Space Systems, and several different SMEs and different disciplines on the business and technical side. So we really, you know, have fostered that culture of learning and are able to really spread that down to the lowest levels, down to the intern level. So culture of learning is definitely very big. And my personal favorite is really developing genuine and authentic relationships with not just our government customers, but really our suppliers, because, you know, those genuine, authentic relationships are really going to make us that much more successful when we're executing, you know, on our national security space programs.
Yeah, absolutely. And you guys are in Colorado Springs, is that right?
We just opened up a site in Colorado Springs, staffing that up. But yes, that's also exciting because we're not just here in El Segundo, you know, we're in Colorado Springs. We also have an office in Chantilly.
Okay.
In Virginia. So, we're slowly taking over.
All over the place.
Yep.
Sweet. Well, now I'd like to kind of go straight into some of the technology. So SmallSat seems to be a hot topic in space tech right now. Could you speak more to that and explain why there's such a high demand for this type of technology currently?
Sure. So really the high demand, you know, for these SmallSats, a couple different reasons that I'll highlight, but really the performance and the high performance that you can get out of these SmallSat systems. And, you know, I think for the rest of the audience, space is an unforgiving environment. And so these high performance systems really need to work for the first time, right? Once they reach their final destination. So high performance, also, you know, the scalability. So small satellites are able to really meet very rapid timelines. And so that's, that kind of goes into, you know, the sort of the theme of making sure that, you know, we can deliver these small sat capabilities by certain timelines. So there's that aspect, and there's, you know, the tech refresh concept where the components that sort of comprise of the spacecraft can be, you know, iterated on and constantly updated every couple of years or every couple months in order to further enhance that capability. Mm-hmm. And really, you know, national security requires these critical missions that these small sats are capable of providing.
So it sounds like they're agile, they're flexible, and you can update them as you go. Is that right?
Correct.
Cool. So what are your thoughts on the acquisition direction, pushing towards proliferated small satellites?
So, you know, Millennium was founded to produce small sat constellations, you know, since the beginning of time of the company. And so we're with our small satellites, we are able to support these critical missions for national security space. And, you know, the layered approach is extremely important, and not just in the different orbital regimes, but the classes of satellites that are able to be put up there and perform these types of missions.
Gotcha. Cool. So kind of switching gears a little bit, I happen to also be on the press team here at NSTXL. And a few months back, I wrote a press release about your team passing a critical design review for the missile track custody project ahead of schedule, actually. And that was really cool, and that got a lot of attention in media. So I'm really excited to talk more about this. Can you share with me some more about your participation on the missile track custody project and the constellation you're working to develop for that?
Certainly. I guess, first off, thank you for that press release. It definitely highlighted a lot of the good work that not just Millennium did, but also our government customer. But, you know, specifically about my involvement and my team's involvement with missile track custody, it really starts at the onset of, you know, sort of shaping what the overall, you know, program and the contract is really going to be. So, you know, we're able to partner closely with our government counterparts and really talk through, you know, methodically on what the overall construct was going to be, you know, accounting for, of course, you know, the statement of work and the scope, but really, you know, cost and schedule, and making sure that the contract types and the arrangements that, you know, we were mutually signing up to made sense and were going to sign us up for success for the missile track custody program. So that's, you know, my team and my responsibility and our contribution, our continued contribution to missile track custody. You know, and so for the audience, you know, Missile Track Custody, Millennium is a prime government contractor for that effort. And we're currently on contract delivering 6 vehicles for Epic One. Okay. And so that missile warning, you know, and defense architecture, it needs to be resilient, needs to be rapid, needs to be ready. And so Missile Track Custody is key to that overall architecture. And so, you know, the Constellation will track threats, things like hypersonic glide vehicles. Okay. And so it is, you know, crucial to national security space.
Yeah, absolutely. Would you mind sharing how it is that your team managed to pass the CDR in such an efficient timeline?
Absolutely. So again, going back to the onset of the contract and, you know, ever since the, you know, Honorable Frank Calvelli's space tenants came out, you know, we've been fully focused on that and making sure that we get the acquisition strategy correct. And so at the onset, making, you know, working and collaborating with our government customers to ensure that we had the right mechanism under the other transaction construct and mm-hmm. the authority in place to really carry out the mission, right, under the cost and technical and schedule constraints that were outlined. So that's up front. And then really everything about the program, right, has been extremely fast and kind of goes back to, you know, one of my my previous responses of, we, you know, Millennium has a very dynamic and collaborative work environment. So part of those dynamics play into how we carry out our business. And so, you know, PDR happened within 4 months, CDR happened within mm-hmm. 5 months. And, you know, that the CDR review was for the full space segment, mm-hmm. you know, with the complete space vehicle and the overall Constellation design. So there's a lot of work that went into that, amongst other things like digital engineering, which is a central focus of the program. And so that, you know, those items that I mentioned played a huge piece in going as fast as we did and being as successful as we were. Also the fact that, you know, Millennium Space Systems is about 80% vertically integrated. And so with that vertical integration, you know, we're able to really control costs, control schedule, and ultimately stay on the timeline that we need to stay on, because we have a very good understanding of our systems.
I see. Yeah. And you kind of touched on this a little bit, but why is this so important, the speed factor in a project like this? Why is it so critical to move quickly? Like, will it really make a difference at the end of the day?
Absolutely. Especially, you know, today, there is no way to track and maintain custody of these advanced threats. And so, you know, Missile Track Custody is contributing to that national security. And so, you know, we've heard it specifically from our customer at Space Systems Command that we need to be resilient by 2026. And that requires proliferation in multiple orbits, different class of SATs, and just redundancy, you know, in our systems.
Yeah, absolutely. So what are the next steps on this project? What's the end goal here?
So I would classify it as challenging fun, as the team likes to put it. There's, you know, we're on the road to manufacturing the 6 space vehicles that we're on contract for. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we'll head into integration and testing, followed by, you know, some continued high fidelity testing, you know, with delivery at the end of 2026.
Great. So you touched on how OT has made this possible a little bit, but how have OT has improved the acquisition model in this case or in general?
Sure. Yeah, no, I think I want to preface with an if here in terms of how OTs have improved the government's acquisition model. And really the if is, you know, there's a lot of talk of, you know, can we do an OTA? And this is both on the industry and government side, but really it's there's, you know, making sure that it's done effectively and efficiently. So, you know, assuming that it is done effectively and efficiently, it can, you know, improve several different factors. One being agility and speed. So the time, mm-hmm. you know, the time that we're seeing all the way from RFI release or RFP release to proposal submission, to negotiating and fact finding, and ultimately to contract definitization, it sped up that process significantly. Mm-hmm. Another thing is just really innovation and collaboration, you know, under the OTA construct, going from prototype to production and really being able to collaborate with non-traditional partners that you typically wouldn't necessarily collaborate with under a traditional FAR-based procurement is definitely an improvement. And so there's a handful of other things. I would also say that, you know, from a regulatory standpoint, there's a little bit less burden, and that's not saying that it's a free for all, but there's a lot more strategy and flexibility that can go into, you know, what both parties, you know, ultimately sign up to. So definitely the flexibility in contract terms and regulatory burden. And then I think the coolest thing, you know, for me and in my role, and I think even for, you know, the company really is the non-traditional aspect and being able to work with some of these non-traditional players in sort of this, you know, new space regime and bringing new tech that was never you know, thought about or incorporated is also a huge improvement in using the OT construct.
Right, absolutely. So you're working with people you may have never otherwise worked with under, you know, a FAR-based contract or something like that.
Exactly.
Yeah, very cool. So what would you say are some key differences between commercial and government contracts?
So I think I'd like to rephrase maybe the question and focus more on OTA versus traditional FAR-based. So some of the items that I highlighted, but really I think, you know, as a contractor, you know, we're seeing these rapid timelines in terms of the overall bidding procurement process. So, you know, the fact that, you know, Millennium is very dynamic, we're agile, and really, you know, we move with speed, having these really, you know, shorter timelines and these mechanisms like an OT really allow us to thrive in that environment and move really as fast as we want to move and move as fast as our customers want us to move. So there's definitely, you know, that aspect. And then the flexibility, I'd say, in contract terms, you know, versus, so, you know, contract terms in a traditional FAR-based or a DFARS-based or special agency, you know, particular contract will be handled and carried out differently than another transaction, right? Because the other transaction is not necessarily governed by the traditional FAR and DFARS clauses. So that's a big aspect. And then really, I think just bottom line is, you know, the timelines that you're able to work engineering change proposals once you're under a contract. And so really, you know, I think I'd say that timelines, you know, from the onset to midstream and really, you know, execution of the overall agreement itself is a lot quicker.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, Millennium sounds like a really fast-paced, exciting place to work, to be right now. What would be your advice to someone who wants to join your team or get involved or partner?
So I would say that, you know, for Millennium, and what's really worked and helped me is coming in with a growth mindset. As I mentioned previously, we have, you know, a lot of incredible people working here, ranging from, you know, tech fellows, you know, to program managers, to portfolio leads, you know, down to the intern level. And so I think just really focusing and having a growth mindset and being able to kind of just take in all that and learn as much as you can will make, you know, someone really successful at Millennium. And then really, you know, something that applies to just life in general is really taking pride, you know, in your work and, you know, don't stop learning, right? And I think that's a sort of a key message for anything that you do in life. And I think last, importantly, you know, for myself and, you know, for the Millennium Enterprise is, you know, knowing our customer, listening to our customer, and carrying out with our contractual commitments.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree with the never stop learning thing. I mean, once you stop learning, you're kind of just stuck, right? But yep. I guess more logistically, how could someone get in touch with your team if they're interested in working with you or partnering? Just go to your website, or how would you suggest?
Absolutely, yeah. Go to our website. And, you know, I'm always a big advocate and walk-in billboard, but I definitely, you know, want to say and put out a, you know, shout out that we are As I mentioned to you, right, you know, part of hitting that millennium milestone of 1,000 people, you know, we're always looking for really good people across all functions. And so, you know, I would say, please visit our website. If something looks of interest to you, apply.
Awesome. Great. Well, is there anything else you wanted to share with us today? Anything that's just on your mind that you want to speak about?
I think, you know, really want to hone in on just the hiring aspect, take the opportunity. I mean, there's, you know, I'm very much, at least I like to think of, but very personable, available on LinkedIn. If you, you know, if I'm available at a particular show, please come up to me. But, you know, I just, Millennium is very unique in the sense that, you know, we are a hybrid company. We do things differently. You know, we take the best of, you know, the big primes and sort of the new space or new tech companies and sort of blend the two. And that's, you know, really, you know, within our culture. So, being fast, being agile and doing things differently, that's Millennium. So if you know, for the folks that are listening, if that's of interest to you, please visit our website, and check out, you know, some of the opportunities that we have available. And, I think just want to foot stomp and end on, you know, what we're doing is extremely important, for national security space. So, you know, we, I mentioned it, but we keep hearing it from our customers. We need to be resilient by 2026, and programs like Missile Track Custody and, you know, the various other programs that are within our portfolio, are helping us stay ahead of the threat.
Yeah, absolutely. Really well said. But thank you so much for your time today. It's been a really refreshing conversation. Learned a lot, and I'm excited for you guys and your growth. But yeah, thank you for your time.
Thank you. You as well, Sydney.